PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Delayed reaction. What was on that? The applause button.
You saw that.
I'm right here with you. Okay. All right, we got a slight delay.
Okay, that's like we need a better tablet.
Maybe
just a tablet.
It's a tablet freaking out.
I do have like 1,000 notifications.
Oh, it's freaking out.
I sent them all away. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's
a little
better.
Oh boy.
I think it might be time.
I just got this thing. I finally found a soundboard that I liked.
A sound boy?
Found my sound boy.
You have a sound boy?
His name is Ricardo. You will meet him later. He's actually waiting for you at your place. Treat him well. Let him lead the way.
I'm just going to throw him out the front door.
And then follow him?
No. Just throw him out the front door.
Oh, poor Ricardo. But he's got all the sounds. This one.
There's a pool out the front door. It's fine.
Oh, true. You do have pool front living.
Yeah.
You're super rich now, right? That's why you moved over to
big ballin' out PLTH1, baby.
That's why you went and bought that whole place right there on the pool. The pool's right there. It's
right
yours.
There. It's
all yours.
It's on the pool.
Practically. Yeah. Like you said, throw my
poolside.
You throw Ricardo the soundboy out the front door.
I'm living poolside now. Big ballin'.
Leaving us poor folk. That's fine. That's how it works. That's the way it works in America.
You poor folk with your courtyard, your silly courtyards.
Stupid courtyard. Courtyard sucks.
This is garbage.
That's where children run around like animals, shoeless. Shoeless animals is what they are. This is what these is.
That's exactly what they are.
God, I live in a hellscape. Practically.
Do the dogs still shit on the concrete next door?
The dog shit on the concrete. I had to fight.
So trashy.
I had to fight two bands of Tuscan Raiders on my way in. It's crazy. They had spikes on their cars this week, but they were made out of paper mache, so I threw a bucket of water on them.
And it's over.
It's idiots. Speak of the devil, and they shall start barking.
I'm sorry.
No, it's hysterical. It's perfect. Can people hear the guy testing his subwoofer in the car across the street? I don't know if they can hear
it. Oh, it's earlier. I think those guys left.
You think so?
I do.
Sometimes they just stop for a break. Boom. They're not going anywhere. That car is in a garage.
Yep.
When do you live in the best parts of town, Drew? These are the experience.
So, what are we doing here, Chris?
We are doing a spoiler bonus episode of Ready Player One. That's right. Spoilers.
With the delay, it's rough.
I'm going to have to, like, as I put... Ladies and gentlemen, beware the spoilers! See, now I kind of talked over a little bit. I'll fix it all in post. We're going to talk about Ready Player One, and this is our spoiler-heavy bonus episode where we're talking about all the deets, the puzzles that were played, the characters that we spotted. I'm sure we spotted completely different characters because they're just... It's just
so many.
It's lousy.
Seriously.
It's to the point where you can't even see them. Your eyes can't even catch it.
The big fight scene at the end. Like, I saw two people.
Forget it.
At a certain point in time, I stopped looking for... Because it was just... It was impossible.
It's a blur. It's so fast and so many different things your brain can't keep up. It's like meant for... Look at it. It's frame by frame, which I can't do that. We're not those people.
I'm not a fanboy.
You should drink every time the dog barks. Oof, maybe hammer drunk.
I wouldn't even ever walk home.
Yeah. that would be a struggle.
Yep.
You gotta get across like a grassy plain.
Ooh, can't do it.
There's like debris there. Maybe an occasional needle. Have you seen one of those yet?
What?
Needles?
A needle?
Nah, I haven't seen one. So I keep an eye out. That's what I'm saying. Keep an eye out. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
So, Ready Player One.
spoiler alert, here we go. E.T. dies in the end. It was crazy when they killed E.T.
His head just exploded right there.
That was your warning, people. We're serious now. The spoilers are coming. Here we go. We're talking about Ready for One. Also, we're going to talk about the book. Do you remember the book came out in 2014? I think I read it 2016 and then reread it last year.
I remember like the main point. I mean, there is obviously some stuff that I forgot, but it's funny. Like
3 years ago, right?
Since watching the movie and the things that weren't in the movie that were in the book, and the things that changed made me remember the book more.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, because I never...
Wait, that didn't happen? Oh, yeah, this is what happened then.
Because I never think of the character I-Rock, who is such an insignificant character. Only in the book, it's only... I-Rock is a wannabe Gunter mm-hmm. who has no skills.
Nope.
They make fun of him.
Yeah, the whole time.
And his plot point, only reason he exists is because he's the one who gives up, like, by accident or somehow, Wade's name to Sorrento.
Yeah, correct.
In the movie, he's, like, a straight-up, like, he hasn't died in 10 years. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
He does. I love how we never see his human face.
You never see that at all. It's always C.J. Miller's voice.
Yep.
And then crazy. That's a pretty crazy-looking character design.
It wasn't bad.
Skull body.
Yeah, skull. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's like, well, that's... Shout-out stuff every once in a while.
Yeah, that's a bold choice.
Yeah.
A handful of bold choices in this movie that we'll obviously talk about. So yeah, so just like you said, I never even think about that character I-Rock. But then in the movie, I'm like, this character is interesting.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
But then I'm trying my best. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is okay. My brain went through that. Then I was like, okay, fine. I tried my best to throw all the book stuff out and just watch the movie on its own terms.
They changed. So much.
They changed a lot.
The main themes were still there.
Yeah.
And some of the main plot points even were still there.
Yes.
But
I would even say most of them.
But other than that, I mean, the puzzles that have to be solved, the way things are done, the way the plot moves forward, all that, it's completely different.
So, all right, so let's start from the beginning.
But the basics are
the
there.
The basics are there. So the movie starts with the voiceover. Is a lot that's in the trailer. It's Columbus.
Listen, this is the future. This is the world we're living in.
Yeah, this is the Oasis.
It was about 5 minutes of exposition and visual fun.
I thought that it was a pretty good way of setting it up, considering the amount of exposition, how much info
needed to be presented. Yeah,
they cut a lot of stuff. No mention of the ocean. No mention of the school.
No mention of the school. That whole where it all began changed, switched up.
Yeah. Hell, they might as well have been like, we're erasing the first 100 pages of this book because Parsifal is already like, some people know his handle. He has some coin. Mm-hmm. He has, you know, he's not like stuck on the homeworld with no money. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just have his t-shirt and jeans look. You don't see that until the very end.
No, exactly.
Surprising you don't start, because that's a big character arc.
Yeah, it was.
And they simplified that.
They just glazed over it.
They glazed over it.
Well, I mean, they did the same thing with his human character as well. There was no moving to the bigger apartment. There was no weight gain and loss. There was no personal struggle to get back into it. There was a lot of the character development, at least of Parsifal, that was taken away as well.
Every character was reduced.
I mean, like you said, all of them. I mean, they didn't even mention the high five until like the last 5 minutes of the movie, and they only did it in passing.
So it made no sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What? I was like,
what does this have to do with it?
Oh. I was like, oh yeah, because they're the top five, but like that's so glossed over is the word you use.
Yes.
So glossed over.
They just...
At 2 hours and 20 minutes, it's weird how it feels like things are...
Seriously, the movie was long, but it moved forward at a pretty fast pace.
Kind of relentless, actually.
And like you said, it's kind of odd that for 2 hours, 20 minutes, things feel compressed and glossed over.
Still felt it when he get to the when he's giving his big speech at the end. We're gonna fight, blah blah blah. Like I didn't feel the weight of it. I feel like I should be feeling something here, and I'm not.
Well, it's because we didn't have that growth with the character.
I think so. That's what it is. I think also. So they change how, like, in here he meets Artemis, like, in the middle. She kidnaps him.
Well, no, exactly. But, I mean, in the movie, instead of being on the homeworld in school, going through this weird little dungeon from Dungeons & Dragons, figuring all that nonsense out.
Yes.
It's... So, now it all starts. A portal opened, and there's a race. and you have to make it through the race. Nobody's made it through the race.
Well, you're talking about the game.
Yeah.
Right. And when Artemis rose up, he's like, whoa, it's Artemis. That's like the first time they meet each other mm-hmm. during the race.
Yeah.
But then in the book, I can't remember. I mean, they meet each other, obviously, when trying to do the same task. But well,
yeah, exactly. Actually, he finds it, and then while he's in there, I think, like,
she shows up and he hides. The first time
he
loses, it's the play joust. Yeah. And it's the first time he loses, and yeah, exactly, now I'm remembering. Okay. But in here, they meet during the race, and then... But then they meet in real life, like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, a huge thing again. The character arc. It's,
well, no, I mean
they don't meet until the very, very end.
But even still, in the book, the very, very end, they've met Og. All this nonsense has happened, and now they're in Og's mansion, in their own full suits, full setup.
In the book, yeah,
all whacked out. As opposed to in the movie, which is
it all happened in the RV.
Yeah.
Or no, what was it? A mail truck?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it all happened in H's mail truck.
Yeah,
you don't even see Og until the very, very end, like the last 2 minutes of the movie.
Aside from the, like the flashback memory clips.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Simon Pegg and Mark Rylance?
Sure,
Sir Mark Rylance. Mm-hmm. I liked Sir Mark Rylance in this one. It was obviously a very affected performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Steven Spielberg seems to have found a new muse.
3-4 movies in a row now, right? Bridge of Spies, BFG, this. He's going to be in the new Scorsese movie. Not the new one, but the one that he's developing. No. Is it a Spielberg? No, it is a Spielberg one. But it's a Scorsese-sounding story because it involves religion and priests and stuff.
Still.
But he's going to play the Pope in a movie for Spielberg, I think. Something like that.
Spielberg's fun to use.
That's cool. That's fun. I like Mark. He plays everything very understated. That just seems to be his thing. Like in Dunkirk with Nolan, mm-hmm. right? Everything he does. So what then makes in Dunkirk that scene where like he's like, we have to go save him, and he's like crying. And he's very, and it's like, whoa, this guy, this understated Englishman is all of a sudden very emotional, and it gives it a little more weight. And this one, it's like a similar thing where he's good at the what's he doing.
He's a programmer.
Asperger's?
Yeah.
Asperger-y programmer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a genius programmer who's not good with people.
Not good with people. Talks funny. Has a funny way of speaking.
Yep.
I agree with that. I thought he was good. Simon Pegg, though, his American accent's like a little...
it's a loft.
Right?
No. He should have just kept his British accent. It's fine.
Just change a character to be a British character.
Who cares?
Right, who cares? It's Simon Pegg. I like Simon Pegg.
You barely used him in the movie anyway.
He was... Therefore, clues for the main characters, yep. Yes. And then at the end, so you'd be like, hey, we're assigned these things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way. Oh, and I was the guy in the library the whole time.
Curator.
Yes, he was the curator the whole time.
Yeah, right?
Which ties in, because in the book, Og was, like, invisible. And
except when he was a DJ.
Yeah, exactly. But he was hanging out in and like peeking in their conversations while they were in Parzival's room.
Things
in
the room would fall. Yeah, they cut all that stuff out. All the meeting places.
Yeah.
So many of the details had to be cut.
They still had to, you know, have him be that weird character because he still had to get the fucking coin.
I was wondering how he was gonna get the coin. That's a very, because when they walked by the catalyst.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's a weapon that'll destroy everything.
And you're like, oh, I know where this is going.
I was like, well, if they introduce the catalyst, which is at this point, then it becomes Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
The law of Chekhov's gun states that if you introduce a gun in the first act, then it has to go off in the third. So here's the catalyst. Like, well, that thing's going on. Then the fuck needs an extra life?
Yeah, he needs extra life. How's he going to get it?
Yeah, so then he flips him the coin and say, oh, that's it.
No, exactly.
Cute, offhanded
and then
way.
And he gives it right back to him. He's like, no, this is yours.
Yeah, which is really funny. I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. It's a like really mistreat this thing that ultimately ends up being so reveal.
Because in the book, it's a huge reveal in the book, too, because he gets the coin and then realizes that it's in his inventory. And he can't take it out and he can't move it. It is there no matter what.
He can't delete it, he can't spend it, and it has no description.
Nope, it's just there.
Yeah.
So.
And then he forgets about it.
Yeah, and in the movie, it's just like, oh, here's a coin. Thanks.
And then he doesn't think about it, puts it in his pocket after he has a little one-on-one with the Artemis. All right, so let's talk about Artemis. Olivia Cooke.
Yeah.
Second movie.
Yeah. She's good enough.
She's good. That's the thing. I feel like the character's been, like, stripped of so many things. So she's the badass Artemis.
This really was Ready Player One light.
If you're looking for a straight one-to-one adaptation, yeah. As a movie, it's just...
I mean, it's fine. It's just like... It's just fun. It's fun. It is fun to watch. The action scenes are great. But as a whole, I think it's a little thin.
Thin, for sure. We saw it in the 2Ds.
Yeah.
I would kind
of. 3D would probably be a lot of fun.
I would like to see it in the 3Ds if possible. Yeah, fine. With all the renovating, I guess I might just have to. If I sit at the right distance and then hold the glasses in a certain way, Artemis is just like all the characters underserved. Ultimately, it's all just like plot. So
yeah,
and which is why I feel like it's kind of strange then to keep them to take away the thing where they don't meet till the end.
Yeah,
because then that could have like a little bit of emotional resonance. But instead, they meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And then from that point forward, they're like working together in the real world as well as
as in the virtual.
So I feel like it took away their meeting. Like it
took man. Them, well, I mean, it, yeah.
Right? And so it was just like, oh shit.
I mean, yeah.
Oh snap.
Yeah.
Interestingly, movie anti-fat, the fat and the pro-fat people are going to come out for this one. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Because Artemis in the book, she's a Rubenesque.
A little bit.
She's a chubby lady. She got the curves. Hashtag real women have curves. Hashtag that shames skinny women. Hashtag okay, all women are cool. Hashtag I don't know what to say anymore.
That's right. I mean, in the virtual world, she's skinny with huge anime eyes and porcupine hair.
I didn't like the designs of the characters. I didn't like that design. I thought it looked not dumb, but I just didn't like it. It didn't appeal to me or his avatar. Well, I didn't like those two avatars.
She was literally the lady in red, so.
Yeah, well, she could have been any color and any kind of character and still in red. I just still like it.
They all vaguely looked like their real world selves.
Yeah, sure, vaguely.
In the mouth. It was only in the mouth.
Probably because they use like motion capture. Yeah. So that the mouth area is the most expressive on our face, and then right around the eyes. So that's what you can copy the most. Just swap it over. All right, I'm just trying to think. We're bringing the car back. We're gonna go back to the beginning where we introduce the Oasis. We have the whole introduction.
Yep.
And then the whole thing, how they dies. Here's he once they
explains gets, the game.
Once he explains the game, then at that point, it's like this movie is like going. And then they talk about the race, and it's just like a race. Is it every day? How is it explained? Yeah, is it once a day? Just continuous?
It's just going.
It's just always going.
There is a race that is going on, and for some reason, nobody can get past. Everybody can get through going forward. They're going through.
People
blah, blah,
have been
blah,
able to get through.
But they cannot
it.
Get past King Kong.
Which is the
very end, right before the finish line.
Yeah, you get to a certain part where you get to the Empire State Building, you see Kong, and then he starts like running along the track and like fucking shit up and shit. And no matter what, you can't get past him because he always gets to the end before you do, no matter how fast you drive.
Until Parsifal figures it out
through all the clues and the whole going under thing. So first, when you first going through it, and it's like so kinetic, and then the way it's shot, in a vertical. What am I thinking?
It's almost
horizontal,
like you're
vertical, like you're going into the screen.
It's almost like you're in the car.
You're in the car, and it's like this is supposed to be seen in 3D.
Oh yeah.
Which is a problem when you're making movies that are meant to be seen in 3D, and a portion of your audience is going to see it in 2D. And then at home, most of your entire audience, at home, 3D has died. Did you notice that?
They stopped pushing that.
They stopped making the TVs and stuff.
I bet you this will come out on VR headsets.
Yes. Yeah. Right. They're already all Oculus up. That's what it will be. Here you go. Live into the world of Blade Runner has one of those things. The Blade Runner 2049.
Does it?
Yeah, it has a Oculus game or a Rift or whatever.
Whatever thing.
Strap it on and you walk around in a terrible digital looking LA. There you go. You're right. Yeah, that's what to do. So it is all right. And when you first. So at that point, I was like, this is kind of. It's a bit of a digital blur.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you see Kong, and then the whole thing with like Kong running alongside, that was the first time in the movie I was like, whoa.
That was badass.
Yeah, I was like, that. It's because, like you said, it's the perspective of being in the car.
Yeah.
So it's like from the street looking up, and
it's like you look to your left, and there's a giant monkey coming for you, like, and he wants you dead.
And I felt like this was kind of like what it would feel like. I'm understanding the POV, and that's rare. people think it's easy. That's rare when you can actually make something like that work in a movie. And then, like you said, he figures it out.
Goes backwards.
So there's a whole going backwards thing. Then he goes.
Bill and Ted did it.
Yeah. I was thinking he's in a DeLorean. Like, is he just in the rare position of being able to use time travel in some way? If he goes backwards, can he reverse the game? I don't know. I was thinking way too far down.
Yeah.
Way too. I overthought it. Occam's
Instead
Razor.
Of just, I'm going to go backwards, and all of a sudden he drops down. That was actually one of the cool parts of it, when he was going underneath everything and you saw everybody getting trumbled and all everybody coming, all the like the fucking T-Rex coming from the inside.
I thought he would never reference Spielberg. Was supposedly wasn't going to reference any movie he directed. That was the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, that's what I was saying. So when he goes under into like that green Tron version and it's underneath,
and it's just a nice little drive.
Still super driving, he's just watching all the chaos. And since you go through, it's funny. So, like I said, you go through the ride. You go through it the first time. It is a ride. He's making the Universal theme park ride. You're going through the thing, the game, the first time, the race. I'm like, this is a blur. I'm like, okay, dinosaur, giant ape, a turn. It's crazy. Then he goes underneath it. It's a much calmer ride, like you said. You're looking up from underneath. It's like, oh, now I'm seeing what's actually happening. Yeah. But I have a reference point. No, the dinosaur. Okay, I get it now. And then he gets to the end. I was shocked at how wasn't there. It's like a double thing. You have to figure out a game. You have to beat a game to unlock. Yeah, right. So in the book, you beat Joust. Was it the second game was War Games?
I forget.
And then the third one is the castle. Feel like they simple like they took away puzzles.
Yeah.
Like they made it. There's less puzzles.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the second puzzle was directly referencing Halliday's personal life.
Yes.
In the movie.
Yes.
I don't think that was the case in the book.
No, it was just that he liked War Games.
Yeah.
It was just straight up he liked War Games. The movie is like no, it's the night that it was the movie he went to. With the girl, and that's actually very smart.
And also your favorite part of the movie, Chris, because they go into the Shining
world. It's the best part of the goddamn movie, dude.
No, seriously, I agree. The Shining level was pretty fucking nuts.
It was amazing how they just like they walked these characters. I guess they are just digital characters.
Yeah.
And did they just have enough footage? They just walked them in.
Yeah.
They just did it.
Yep.
But it wasn't. This was smart too, I thought. It wasn't recreate the movie. It wasn't karaoke the movie.
No.
It was.
It was like Funhouse style. The Shining.
Yeah, it was like a Universal Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
And if you know the movie, then you can avoid
the
pitfalls.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Turns out H
never saw the movie.
That's
so
there.
No, exactly. And it probably has the most, well, not has the most fun, but goes to the most interesting way of the movie.
And we saw it in a packed theater.
Yeah.
And I was worried about being in a movie full of references and people like you know, audibly, you know, like whatever. But it was awesome when the twins showed up and everyone was like, oh shit, like no, like, this is the twins, no.
No, exactly. Everyone was like, no, stay away.
Yeah, what's up, little girls? Yes, no, I can do H. H was like, H was awesome because H was like, what's up, little girls? You guys, you don't know where you going? Come on over here. And then I was kind of shocked, honestly, at the blood elevator. That they did the blood elevator.
Yeah, they did.
Because it's a PG-13 movie. It's a PG-13 movie. And it's like, we're still doing blood elevator. That's a lot of goddamn blood.
Yeah, it is.
PG-13 movies don't like showing blood, but they rationalize
it. It was like an ocean of blood, Chris.
A river of it down the hallway. They turned that into like a plot point, ripping the picture. Which I love that, the Halliday picture.
Halliday and his girl, yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Beyond that, oh my god, what... The river ends, and then H ends up in room 237.
Yeah, just boom, and the door shuts, and it says 237. Dude, the second the door shut, I was like, oh no.
But then they go through the whole scene with the naked lady, and then it's like a well-placed hand, because H is a giant, so a well-placed hand gives you the implied nudity, takes out the actual nudity, but then you still get like the mirror shot of the crazy back and everything. But then it turns into like the crazy zombie lady that attacks you.
With a knife.
Imagine that in 3D. Those shots in 3D. That was probably frightening.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
I want to see this movie in 3D now. I'm talking myself
That's
into
fine.
It.
We'll go see it again.
I'm talking myself into it.
It's a quick 2.5 hours.
It is surprisingly quick. Because it is just relentless. Yeah. At the expense of emotion. So they do try to get the emotion in there where they could, which was through the whole Halliday subplot. Which, I mean, I think of any part of the actual book, if you're going to mine one thing to hang your whole emotional like hat on, the Halliday storyline is the obvious one. You may say like the that since it is at the expense of the Artemis Parcival.
Parcival.
Such a stupid name. Wade. Yeah. Wade's a better name. What's her name? Samantha. Samantha Cook and Wade Watts. Mm-hmm. The Wade Sam storyline is good and all, but it's also predictable.
Well, it's predictable, and it relies heavy on character development. And if you're not going to go through the, if you can't do character development, you have to go with Halliday.
If you're not, yes, if you're not going to start Wade from the very beginning, and if you're not going to keep them apart until the very end, sure, then reduce them to plot points, and then just make it all about Halliday. I'm fine with that. So yeah, that Shining level, man, it was just so good. And then the all the typewriter, the letters, but it was in the shape of a key. I was like, come on, this is insane.
Uh-huh.
We're doing it right. We're doing it right.
Exactly. And then they go into the real world because at this point in time, it's, you know, post, this is what, this is the goal for the second key. So IOI is already after them.
The Shining's the second key, right?
The Shining's the second key. Yeah. And so it zooms out to the real world, the IOI quote unquote war room where all the white dudes are sitting there doing their thing in their suits and everything, and it's everybody just dying and freaking and screaming like little girls, God, and everybody is just losing their goddamn minds. And the manager's like, well, we just gotta make it to the Shining level now.
Yeah, I love the floor managers. Yeah, the people just running the worker bees. Alright. Well, okay, first off, I want to talk about Sorrento, a.k.a. Ben Mendelsohn, hashtag
the
Mendelsohn. First, just read this today. In the initial, the very first draft written for Ready Player One, the second level movie that they were going to do an experience of was Blade Runner.
Ooh, but then Blade Runner 2049 came out.
And they knew that was in development, and like, you know what, that's just too much Blade Runner. We don't want to feel like we're just copying or trying, so we picked something else, came up with a Shining, which is...
All it's right. Fine.
Great.
Oh, I mean, come on.
So good. So good. So actually, if at one point, I think during the, when they're looking at the VHSs, you see Blade Runner. So, the Bedlison. Hashtag the Bedlison. It's pretty good.
That's fine.
Doing the best with the, what you got? Just villain.
With
corporate villain.
With really white teeth. God, they were so white.
I didn't know.
They were so white.
Some of those teeth look crazy white, like CeeLo white, CeeLo green white.
His
teeth are white, white.
But that's because his skin's so dark. It's the
contrast.
Yeah, the contrast. Sure, fair really enough. Expands it.
Oh, you're right.
So,
like Steve Harvey,
still white,
white, white teeth.
White teeth.
Whoa, my eyes are burning. I didn't notice. I didn't notice Bendelsohn's white ass teeth. I just watched Bendelsohn in a terrible movie called Adore. In this movie, Drew, Naomi Watts. Spoilers for Adore.
You've told I've seen the trailers. There's a reason I didn't watch the movie.
You saw the trailers?
Yeah, I saw the trailers years ago.
Yeah, years ago, 2013. Yeah,
I remember the trailers.
Remember the trailers?
Yeah.
Robin Wright, they're watching their kids surf.
And Naomi Watts watching the kids surf. They're like, you know what? I should bang the shit out of your son. And the other son comes on to her, I think. Like, one of them comes on to the son, and the other son comes on to the other one.
One
they're banging
son,
each other's kids.
One son comes on to one mom. The other son, because their friends get wind of it, goes to the other mom in the middle of the night, and they end up fucking in the morning. And then he goes to his mom, like, right away, right after they're done sex. He just goes to his mom, and it's like, I just got done doing to you what you were doing with my friend. Like, boom, like, right away. And then the very next scene, they're sitting down, like, what have we done? They're talking, like, what do we do? Like, we can't do this, we can't do this. The very next scene, they're like, they're fucking them. And then the very next scene after that, like, all right, we're going to fuck them. Like, all right, we're going to fuck them. And then they're just like, they're cool with it.
And they're just going to fuck them.
The original book that movie is based on is called Grandmothers. It's a generational tale.
So this happens again.
Not necessarily, but not that. But it's gross.
Gross.
It's a gross, weird movie. I brought all that up to say, Ben Mendelsohn was in that.
All right.
Because it's an Australian movie. Australian made. And I was like, hey, the Mendelsohn. And then movie sucked. And I was like, oh. But he was fun in this.
Good. Yeah, it was fun.
He was American accents, right?
It's not bad. It's fine. I like how his password was Big Boss 69.
I referenced so many jokes. I was like, that's in a Spielberg movie. That's a that's a surprise.
They said fuck, Chris.
That one time. It's fucking Chucky.
Yep.
That's a funny line.
Dude, and it was great too, because all of a sudden there's a maniacal live Chucky murdering the fuck out of everybody.
So that's the end, right? So they do, and then they go through the whole loyalty center thing and like being in debt and working until you're dead, and you know that's the whole little like
the subplot of the book
that it's like, and the book barely, it's like it's in the book and it's like we're condemning it, but we're not really, it's just whatever. It seems more like they're just angry at like in-app purchases.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like in games, like you're doing all the microtransactions, you're making me mad with my Call of Duty. I really don't have anything else to say about that. You know, it feels like it doesn't really say anything. It just is what it is.
No.
So they kind of
part of this dystopian future.
It's part of it, and they just use it to get through to the whole the orb of
something like that.
And the setup, that whole I like in the book how they have like the whole, that's the thing in the book, you can do this. You can explain how Wade hacks into their, gets himself checked into a loyalty center, hacks into a computer, does all this stuff that leads to a robot detonating a bomb at the right time. You got to figure something else out, and you know, something simpler that still makes sense. I thought they still did a pretty good job of that.
It wasn't bad.
Okay, what I was going to say before though, what? She kidnaps him.
Yeah.
Ball guy with a terrible tattoo. Mm-hmm. Kidnaps him. Yeah. Brings him to the little hobo warehouse.
The resistance.
What resistance? Resistance to what? What are they resisting?
Remember, she's all pissed off because the loyalty center's killed her dad.
So she's resisting IOI?
Yes.
But so, IOI is not the government.
She's fighting IOI.
IOI is just a company.
Yeah, but if IOI gets control of the Oasis, then they'll pretty much own the world.
Right, because... so they're just resisting that happening.
Yeah.
But still, that's not...
Apparently there's a resistance, Chris.
Hashtag resistance?
She's the leader, or a part of it, or... I mean, you don't really... She says it once, and then dude gets caught, and they're on the run.
Well, oftentimes I like to, take the devil's advocate side, and, you know, kind of look at the other... You know, I'm totally hashtag team, most recently team Killmonger, even though his...
She rebels, Chris.
Huh?
She's a rebel. She rebels.
She's a rebel. She rebels. Hashtag she persists. Hashtag me too. Hashtag he too. Hashtag she too. Hashtag Magneto is right, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I can't be with Iowa in this one.
Yeah, no, it's a jerk. Face is corporate monster.
Corporate jerks. But then you cut to like the nerds in the white sweaters trying to figure out the video games, and then they're all like, "Are we supposed to like these people?" As they're like trying to, it keeps getting to that girl who's figuring things out.
The corporate nerd.
Yeah, like screw these people.
Yeah, they're a bunch of jerks. They sold their soul.
Yeah, right. They're working for the wrong side. But they get to the third. Oh, but so then while they're like trying to figure out how to get Artemis out of the center and do all that stuff,
they figure
figures out where the third gate is.
Yeah,
which is just walk up to this machine and play this Atari, figure out what game it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the one thing that stays the same.
Yeah,
it's adventure,
and you got to find it's the first Easter egg ever.
Yeah, which is okay.
That's fine.
Cool.
Yeah. Like at least, I mean, yeah, that's fine. That works.
Yeah, exactly. Like, thematically, that one works the best of all the puzzles, so leave that one in. So they have that big battle. In that first teaser, do we even use it again in any other trailers? A shot of like someone riding like a giant scorpion, and it's like they're in the battle and they're going up on the hill, and it's like a one shot.
I think that was just in the teaser.
It's not in the movie. No. It got cut out of the movie. God.
I mean, I saw
that was such a great
in the fight scene. We got Iron Giant. I saw
Iron Giant was fun.
I saw the Ninja Turtles.
I did not see the Ninja Turtles.
I saw a bunch of Master Chiefs and Halo people.
Yeah, they got prominent placement.
Yeah.
Did you see Spawn?
Yeah, I saw Spawn.
Spawn gets like right up front in one shot during the when they're all like, running up doing the whole army thing. The Chucky bit was fun.
I saw some characters from recent
first-person shooters, like Overwatch people, I think.
It's definitely Overwatch characters, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. In the gravity dancing sequence, there's like a whole bunch of characters above them. That's the thing. They're all like Gandalf is up in there. He walks past Deathstroke at one point.
Like over a second viewing, I could probably pay more.
That's the thing. Multiple viewings is where you see.
Yeah.
Who was Harley Quinn hanging out with?
She was hanging out with two chicks. I forget.
Who she was hanging out with, but three people. I don't know. Doritos bags
everywhere.
Oh, man, we're being advertised to.
I felt like the pizza drone delivery.
The Pizza Hut drone delivery
was that Back to the Future 2 call out. Shout out. I mean, that's what I felt like that was.
It might be the super near future, like maybe tomorrow.
Well, no, it's also like smart use of drones, good use of drones in a movie. And but I think like pizza drone delivery, and that it's Pizza Hut. It's like Back to the Future 2. Yeah. They had the small pizza, and then it was like, what was it? Like hydrating pizza. I think it was something a hydrator. Like that, let me put the pizza in the hydrator, and then it pops up. And then it's a very 80s looking pizza. Remember pizza parlors?
Vaguely.
Pizza Hut parlors?
Even vaguelier.
Yeah, those are fun. I miss those. I miss those days.
Mecha Godzilla.
Dude.
Got tore up by fucking Mobile Suit Gundam.
That was awesome too.
I choose form of Gundam. I was just like, oh shit.
Yeah, Saito.
Yeah.
Saito, what were their names?
I don't even remember.
He was awesome. Gundam was awesome. Mecha Godzilla was awesome. I loved, the music. Alan Silvestri.
So, seriously, like, there were straight up Back to the Future moments. Yes. Where, like I'm sitting there watching, some little thing happens, and I hear doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yes.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. When he unleashes the Zemeckis cube to rewind everything a minute, and it's straight up Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And then there's other cues in the movie that sound Back to the Future like, and also sound like Predator. That's because it's all Alan Silvestri. They got. Spielberg got Alan Silvestri. It's like, I need a score. I need you to use a little bit of Back to the Future, but also do your thing. And he did his thing. And it's an awesome score. Yeah. It's really good. There's a reason why, of all the Marvel stuff, they keep using they keep harping on that Captain America theme over and over. Because that's an Alan Silvestri thing. We did the first Captain America. It's like, we like this one. All the other one is all the same kind of nonsensical garbage. That's like, it doesn't name a good Marvel score, right? They don't have them. Get together, guys. Unless you're doing a James Gunn or Taika Waititi, I'm going to throw a bunch of classic rock in there. We're like, yeah, sure. Yeah. You're cheating with the Led Zeppelin. We'll give you one.
Everybody cheats. Dude, it's Led Zeppelin. How can you not? I mean,
and it's like their best song too. Yeah. It's like everyone loves that damn song.
Well, that and it's. I mean, Led Zeppelin used to sing about Norse mythology.
Yeah, it was perfect.
And it's a fucking Thor move. Come on!
I can't remember the gods. It was perfect. I wanted to see that giant scorpion thing, but we didn't get to see that. No. But it was still a pretty fun enough battle. But it was so much was happening.
There was a lot going on. It's a lot.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. Like, it was actually a relief when Mecha Godzilla shows up, because everything has to slow down enough that this big lumbering thing can get into it.
Yeah.
But then what made me think of Alan Silvestri in the music was that then they used the Godzilla theme while he's doing his thing and wrecking shit.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yes. Also, great use of the Shining theme. When they're doing the Shining sequence was really good. It was really, I think maybe the music was one of my favorite parts. The Shining and the music, I think, were my favorite parts. That was really good. The design of the avatars for Artemis and Parsifal were my least favorite parts. And I mean, the lack of overall development, but do I want a 3-hour Ready Player One movie? I don't think I do.
No.
And I don't want a Ready Player One TV series either.
No.
I don't want 12 hours of this shit.
No. I mean, maybe a limited series, maybe give me 5 1-hour blocks?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm Fry with it as a fun 2.5 hour movie.
You know, seriously, for what it is, it's fine.
I think it's very entertaining.
It is fine. It's not the book, but it never will be.
It doesn't have to be.
And it's not supposed to be.
It doesn't. Yeah, it's something else. It's a movie.
So
it's something. I mean, the book. Even the book itself. I'm not necessarily that fast of a reader, but both times I read it over the course of 2 days.
Yeah,
it's a pretty quick read. At like 400 something pages. It's just a lot of exposition and a lot of information, and turn it into a movie. Yeah, I think this is probably the best form of it.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked very well.
Without making it like a goddamn 3 hour.
No.
3 hour
slugfest.
Yeah, what the hell?
No.
Man, that giant sequel was good. Final Battle was pretty cool. The whole adventure thing. The whole thing with like the pen and all that. Yeah. All that happened. Mm-hmm. And then the doors open and close. That joke. Remember that joke?
Yeah. Doors. Yeah, you can't get the key to fit because it's getting hit by the...
Yeah, and everyone's watching. Like, why can't he just get the key in there? I thought that was cute. Because it's like he's on the move. It's an
in the real world
of danger to it. It's like, oh, I saw Inception.
Yeah. I get this.
We can do this. We can do the same thing. Look at that, Christopher Nolan. Now you're influencing Spielberg movies. How about that? That's fun. Because that wasn't in the book.
Nope.
Is there anything else that you want to set out to you? Favorite parts? Least favorite parts.
The high five nonsense, where it's just
when they mention that thing. They're doing the high five at the end. Yeah. Yo, the high five. That's Simon. That's my Simon Pegg American accent.
Yeah. You know,
now you guys are the high five.
Very, very. This gloss. I mean, all
I enjoyed H.
All of my bitching is just like small things like that. They just kind of glossed over in the movie without ever. Leading up to it or like doing stuff and then never even back.
Yeah, it just feels like they set up a lot, yet they set up nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't really understand how the Oasis works.
Yeah.
They never really get into that.
Nope.
They don't get into the whole like traveling from. They explain there are a bunch of worlds. There's Minecraft world, there's this world, there's that world, but they don't really explain too much about going to them.
How people get there, any of that.
Traveling, how the whole money thing works outside of like collecting coins. I like, vaguely understand going to a store, but it's like, I don't know.
Oh.
It's weird for being such a central part of it. They don't explain much because they're just trying to keep it going.
Yeah,
so well, it's like well, go, and they have to.
They have to because there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. It only slows down for the holiday stuff.
No,
yeah,
but you really need that slowdown.
I was shocked by all that shining blood. I was not shocked. I was surprised when the whole fucking Chucky is like, well, yeah. What? It's a PG-13 movie. Guys.
Chucky was awesome.
There's kids in this theater.
Yep.
But Chucky was awesome, so yeah. Everyone laughed. They got a laugh too.
They did.
Yeah.
Because all the adults were like, "Ha!"
Yeah, they were. Like,
imagine if that was real. I'm so afraid for my life right now.
I remember Chucky's, Freddy Krueger. That was in the trailer too.
Yeah. I mean, all in all, it was fun.
It was okay.
It was so reference heavy though that I think I missed about half.
That's the thing. It feels like you're supposed to see it multiple times. Like, oh, fine. At least it's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Spielberg. Come on, man.
It is Spielberg. It's good. And it's fun Spielberg as opposed to, like, serious Spielberg. Yeah. You know, and it's a toss-up as to which one you're going to get these days. What does he have next? He's still, for years, he's been trying to make a movie called Robopocalypse.
Sounds crazy.
It's like his Pacific Rim Transformers, you know, giant Dang. Robot movie. Yeah. I think it's a comic book or a graphic novel.
Cool.
He's been trying to make like the Ballad of Ricky Bob. No, that's another movie. Something, the Song of Walter Gayaga. I don't know. Something where like he has to find this kid. He needs like a 7-year-old kid to play the lead role. He has Andrew Garfield cast in one role, Mark Rylance in another, and then he just needs a kid. It's in like during the 15th century, Spain, I think. Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition!
Correct, Chris.
But he can't find the kid, and then when he couldn't find the kid, he ended up making the post in 7 months. Yep. But now that he made the post, like, now he's probably looking for the kid. Well, he's trying to make some other stuff. Anyway. Oh, the Tintin movies.
Tintin,
excuse me. The Adventures of Tintin. That does the producer.
It's Adventure du Tintin.
What?
You heard me.
No, I didn't actually. Was that it? Fromage?
Exactly.
Fromage?
Fromage.
Man, I want to get some of that, fromage.
Some of that fromage.
You got any of that, got any of that bri fromage? Bri fromage?
Shout out to the Swervy Jones Show. Came back from the... We did this right after the Swervy Jones barbecue takeover. How's that? How are them ribs, Drew?
Okay.
Them Danish baby back ribs.
They were good.
What made them Danish?
The Danes.
Danes made them Danish. Fair enough. Those pigs were fucked by Danes before they got sent over here, butchered and sent over.
Perhaps.
All right. I had some pulled pork. It was good stuff. And I got me some magnets. I got my Jones fam magnet because I paid the $3 a month for the member episodes.
So you get a magnet.
So I got the metal shiny magnet.
Congratulations.
Hey, money's good for something.
Yeah.
It was cool to see people there. We saw Rocky and Eddie. Eddie did our PFT logo. We met that dude Sean while his cute little kids were running around. That was nice. That was cool stuff. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
How'd you like that drink of the week?
I actually wish there was a little bit more alcohol in it.
It was quite boozy. White Claw and vodka.
I didn't really catch a buzz.
That's good. You were driving. Yeah. I thought it was tasty. And I like the cilantro, because I like cilantro. I'm not one of the people that can taste the soap enzyme that's in there. The soapy enzyme. But I was kind of picking that shit out of my teeth.
No, yeah. Because it's mold.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And it's just got getting up in there. Mm. Here, I'm trying to drink this.
And you still got a piece right there.
See? What? The whole time, Drew? Drew? It's so embarrassing. All right. Well, this is the end of the episode. Drew, where can we find you online?
At Antihero 419, some places on the internet.
All right, follow me on Twitter. I'm Chris Castle.
A PFT Media production.